Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Yo!
Yo! It's episode 199.5.
Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah, we're not doing 200. We're not planning anything.
All right.
We'll start next week, Monday, episode 200. We're talking confetti cannons. We're talking confetti cannons. I bought a lot of confetti cannons, Luke. I need to get rid of them. I need to use them somehow.
I'm concerned, though, Pete, knowing you as I do,
right,
that you have borrowed from Peter to pay Paul here.
Okay.
And you're not going to have anything planned for next week either.
No.
You're going to forget about it, and this is going to go on and on.
199.6. Yeah. 199.75.
Yeah. I'm worried about this.
Don't be worried.
Whatever episode it is.
Trust in Donnie.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Episode 199.5.
You haven't, though, because I would never say that.
No, you wouldn't.
That would be a ridiculous thing for me to say.
You are self-aware enough to realise that your life has become something that none of us intended.
There are certain people in my life that I have to work with where they get very excited about an idea and then they don't actually want to do it every week. Like, they get very excited about a particular thing and then you got to do it loads of times and then they get less into that idea.
Like what? Your email jingle for the ramble?
Yeah, I think people are on board the first week. You email that, but now they've kind of checked out a little bit. They're not.
I've not checked out of it. I'm all for it.
But either way, yeah, and I see a little bit of myself in that because I'm really excited about something, and the actual grind of having to do it every week, I'm like, oh, fuck, crying out.
Yeah,
like,
again. I'm definitely someone who wants to be really enthused by the idea of something, and then just pass the admin on to someone else.
Yeah, we're the blueprint makers.
Yeah, yeah, I think we are.
Someone else build the hotel.
So let's call this episode 199.5 then,
yes,
Pete.
Let's do that.
And what you've done is you've now ramped up the pressure
for
the actual episode 200.
Whenever that may come.
Yeah.
Whenever that may come.
Okay, so that might never manifest itself.
Might never manifest itself.
All right, the good thing is at least I'm not busy next week, so that'll be fine. Fucking hell, you're an idiot.
Why? What have you got on next week?
I've got to do all the Ramble Live press next week.
What's that? A couple of interviews. Oh, Ramble Live's really good. Yeah. Oh, I just lit the microphone. That's going to get me ill during the Ramble Live show.
You know, also, one of the things I've been made aware of,
oh,
I think we've covered this before.
Not my online blog.
I think
there's a lot of you in there.
Don't say blog again.
Why?
People don't associate the word blog, do they?
I think so. I mean, yeah.
So you know that thing Marcus does for Ramble, for Patreon, for right. Ramble?
The vlog.
Yeah, but that's my question. Is vlog the word for it now?
I think people still do vlogs, don't they?
You're normally my expert on this kind of stuff.
I don't think everyone's bored of a vlog.
Right.
I think when there's money to be made, freshness goes out the window.
Yeah.
Mm, vlog.
That's something that you should put on your gravestone. There's money to be made,
freshness goes out the window. That's amazing. Another quote of mine.
But I've been made aware of one or two people on the internet thinking that I consider you some kind of like ersatz Carl Pilkington character,
right? Okay.
And that all I do is like poke you with a stick, and that's basically the basis of the show. But that's not true, is it?
What have you been on? Is there a Luke and Pete Shaw Reddit?
No,
that's where all the Luke abuse lives usually, on Reddit.
Oh, the Reddit and the Football Ramble forum is where the people hate me the most,
right?
But I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that generally speaking, people think of our friendship and our dynamic as me poking you with a stick and then laughing at the things you say. But that's not true, is it?
No, I think on the Ramble every now and again, it'll get to that point. But, you know, seasons are long and, you know,
you don't complain about that on payday, do you?
We get paid. What?
Oh, shit.
Shit.
The cat's out the bag.
We have cats.
You don't feel that way, do you?
No, I'm all right.
Okay.
I'll always come up with the goods, I say.
Say something funny.
Oh, so I bought a trench coat. Right.
Episode 199.5. Oh, this is a good story. This really made me think of
I'll
you.
I'll be the judge of that, buddy.
Yeah, but yeah, it made me think of you.
If it's got a UFO in it, boring.
Well, the reason
it became, rocks, the reason it space, came, boring.
No, it's nothing to do with that.
Right.
The reason it came to my, the reason it caught my eye first is because I saw it on Twitter and it was written by a guy called Ewan. And loads of people called Ewan have emailed in at the moment because they want to be known.
Yes.
And we'll come on to them later. It was written by a guy called Ewan Somerville for The Independent.
Mm.
Right? This is brilliant. Pope Francis. Trapped in the lift in the Vatican for 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Late for his mass. Had to be rescued by the fire brigade. God's got a sense of humour, obviously.
Fantastic.
What do you think about that, Pete?
I was in a lift over the weekend, one of the fine Schindler's lifts that...
Weird.
That pockmark our world. Yeah, I got in it, and my mate lives in a big 10-storey building, 11-storey building, and he's on the 10th floor. And this lift, every time I go in, it's in a bigger state of disrepair than it was before.
Right.
It stinks.
Just in London?
Yeah, in London, in a big tower block in Holloway. And you get in, and there's always a little light on saying, with a little image of a spanner, a little icon of a spanner saying,
all right,
on either under maintenance or it needs to be maintained.
Right.
I get in, one person, it says, the weight is too much. Wait,
well, I didn't want to say
anything. I'm not 10 men. I'm not 10 people.
You've got the strength of 10 men.
And then, and it just starts grinding as it goes up the 10th floor. I'm like, this could go badly.
Would you contemplate taking the stairs?
I mean, it is 10 flights, isn't it?
So this is the thing. So one of the buildings I work is 17 floors, and I work on the 17th floor.
Right.
And
my name is Luca.
What's your cutoff? Because people are getting a lift and they're slowing me down. And then some of them are going to first, second, third floor.
What's your cutoff?
Because for me, the cutoff should be...
Two floors.
I was going to say three. If you work on the fourth floor and above, the lift is available to you. They shouldn't run... regular lifts for people.
Regular lifts.
Well, I understand people have got, you know, living with disabilities and stuff, and I understand that, and they have to use a lift. I get that. But not everyday able-bodied people should take the stairs. It's much better for you.
Have you ever been caught taking a lift one floor and then you've affected a limp?
No.
I have.
Tell us more about this.
No, just affect a limp. Like, if someone catches you doing it, you're like, I've hurt my leg.
But then they're going to see you again and you haven't got a limp.
I got better.
Got better.
Limps can get better.
It's like when Larry David gets caught using the disabled toilet.
The accessible toilet,
by a guy with a disability.
Mm.
And then he catches the guy with a disability using the non-accessible toilet and gets pissed off about it. Mm. And obviously the beauty in Larry David's comedy is that 99 times out of 100 people would let that go, and because they're, you know, because they're perfectly reasonable people and he isn't. But that episode has single-handedly, if I ever had a chance or an inkling to use an accessible toilet, I wouldn't do it because I shouldn't do it. But the reason I'm being honest, the reason I wouldn't do it is because of that Larry David episode.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought like it changed to accessible toilet for a reason. It's just another toilet that happens to be accessible to.
What happens if people have got a problem with their bowel or irritable bowel syndrome or something like that and they can't use the toilet, they can't get to the toilet quick enough because you've been in there?
Well, why would that be a disability that halts mobility? If you have an irritable bowel or you have something like that, is that a disability? Is that a mobility issue?
So you're saying it's not an accessibility issue, so it doesn't matter? They could just go and use any toilet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm saying that it's an accessible toilet. That, yeah. So if you're using any toilet, somebody could be in there before you. I just think that with the there's a reason why it's there. That's why most toilets in like Starbucks are accessible toilets, because everyone has needs to use them. But
yeah, okay, right, that makes sense. Can I go back to the Pope again? Because if I went to what's it called, St. Peter's Square on a Sunday, and I was particularly into Catholicism and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I was going to see an audience with the Pope, and I've been looking forward to it possibly my whole life. If the Pope, because he got stuck in the lift and had to be rescued by the fire brigade, opened his, what's it called, a sermon?
Yeah.
By saying, a round of applause for the fire brigade, I'd be a bit underwhelmed.
What do you mean? As in like, yeah, what, he wants everyone to know that the fire brigade helped him out of the lift?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose.
Riches, I mean, they should have some kind of side tunnel he could burrow out of,
a side tunnel
in the lift, because that organization, that racket is minted. Absolutely. Have you been to the Vatican? It's just mint everywhere. It's like Kendall mint everywhere, just fucking statues and like urns and little figurines, little trinkets, left, right and centre, all worth millions of pounds. Disgusting wealth. Disgusting.
And I thought they were...
smash it all up.
I thought they were... aren't they like above, like kind of above any kind of jurisdictional law as well?
Hugely, hugely.
So I don't think. So this is the other thing about the Catholic Church is they boast, and they do boast, billions and billions of members.
Mm.
But that's because there's no way to leave the Catholic Church.
What do you mean?
But they don't recognise a way to excommunicate yourself from the church. So if you, so my wife, for example, born to a Catholic family. Mm. Doesn't consider herself Catholic, is an atheist.
Right.
She still counts because you can't leave.
What if you convert to Judaism or Islam or something like that?
Good question.
Surely that's you can't be counting that.
Email
I'm
in.
Not having that.
Hello at lukeandpeach.com. Email in.
Mm.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Do you remember that joke that Matt LeBlanc told on the Graham Norton show about the Pope?
No.
It's a good joke.
Is it about smoking dope? No, go on.
It's about the Pope smoking dope, yeah. I remember when you used to have that t-shirt. You'd wear that t-shirt now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, all right. So
Matt LeBlanc, it's not my joke, it's Matt LeBlanc's, but I'll tell it very quickly.
I mean, look at the t-shirt I'm wearing now, for crying out loud.
Yeah. We won't go into that. So guy goes to the Vatican, and he's really into Catholicism, and he really wants to meet the Pope, and so he's looking forward to it. And all of a sudden, unbelievably, the Pope comes. I'm probably paraphrasing here, because I don't want to spend all day on this. But the Pope turns up, and they can't believe it. And they're all standing in a line, and the Pope comes along. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Absolutely can't believe it. And he's looking down the line, and the Pope is greeting people, sort of blessing them and everything, and moving on and blessing another guy. And then this homeless guy is there with this big long coat, holes in it. Obviously, he's homeless, so he's dirty, and he's not had a chance to have a shower or get changed or anything. And the Pope sees him and leans in and gives him a big embrace, pats him on the cheek. Kind of, and the guy's like, geez, I'll tell you what I need to do. He obviously loves the homeless. I'll need to get that jacket. I need to get it. And hopefully I'll get an embrace with the Pope and that'll be even better. And so he legs up the line, finds the homeless guy. How much for your jacket? And he goes, that's not for sale. He said, look, how much for it? I'll give you $100, not for sale. I'll give you $500, not for sale. Look, I'll give you $1,000 just for that jacket. You're a homeless man. You need the money. Take it. And the guy's like, all right, give me $1,000. So he counts him out $1,000 and he gets his jacket.
This is Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
But he did this.
It's a joke he's told.
Sorry.
Peter, right. For goodness sake.
Sorry, I thought this was a story.
Stop me in full flow.
Right.
It's a Matt LeBlanc's joke.
Right.
And so he gets the homeless guy's jacket, runs back down to the bottom of the line. He's got it on. He turns the collar up and he's there. And he thinks, right, yeah, he's going to think I'm homeless now and get a big embrace of the Pope. Pope comes along, blessing people, gets to him, gets him in a grip and he goes, I thought I told you to get the fuck out of here.
Nice. Oh, that's wonderful. Enjoyable.
There we go. So Matt LeBlanc on episode 199.5 of the Luke and Pete Show. It's nothing vicious. Let's have a break, and when you come back, we'll do some emails.
All right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And today, I'm going to show you what I've been doing to take care of the pantry moth situation.
What I've been doing. Yeah. Do you know the Acast diddly-lee noise that you probably just heard there?
Yeah.
Unless we're very fallow with our adverts this week. I think it sounds like, I get up too late, do-do-do, nothing in my way, do-do-do.
Oh, it's Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Hey, this going on? Hey,
Swifto.
Hey,
she's re-recording all of her previous albums.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that's funny, isn't
the
it?
Detail of the story, but from what I know, good on her. Good
if you
on
don't
her.
Own your, it was a prince who said, if you don't own your masters own you.
Yeah.
I think he might did. Might have said a lot of stuff, didn't he? Mm. Oh, dear.
By the way, we've had four Ewans so far.
Yeah.
Someone emailed in asking if he was the only Ewan listening to the show, or how many there were, and... I can't remember his name, but four people have emailed in since. Ewan Rowe, Ewan Perdue, Ewan Gruel, which is a brilliant name.
Brilliant.
And Ewan Soulsby. Also, we've had two Lukes email in and no Pete's.
Oh, were we asking for that as well?
I was, yeah.
Oh, okay. I forget what
maybe
it's
just because I asked, yeah.
Jake Wilde's got in touch. Hello, Jake. Hi, both. I've been a Ramble follower for many years, et cetera, et cetera. I'm currently up to episode 40 of the Luke and Pete Show. But since it isn't really topical, it's a lovely distraction to the stresses of life.
That's what we designed it for.
He's not going to hear this for years, is he? If he's just piling through to episode 40.
Wanker.
Anyway, in
we
that
record
episode...
this. We record this to get rid of real life.
Anyway, in that episode, you were talking about Frey Bentos pies. Sounds like us. And I felt like I'd share my Frey Bentos story. I'm 29, so I haven't lived with my parents for some time. My mum is as clumsy as anyone comes and goes through phones and iPhones like they're going out of fashion. Quite often just stepping on them or leaving them in pubs or public transport. She sounds like fun. I have a 14-year-old sister who has adopted those trends and the pair of them are as clumsy as each other. Anyway, because of this, they often share devices. And if one breaks, the other one borrows the other. My sister was looking through the photos of her iPad the other day and stumbled across this picture. The picture is of my mum trying to make herself a Frey Bentos pie. check out this picture.
That's weird.
It's a mum looking into the camera, but also the underside of a minced beef and veg delicious Frey Bentos pie. I presume she's opened the top of it. And she doesn't want to spill the contents, so she's taking a picture using her daughter's iPad. But it's just a wonderful picture.
Hasn't your dad gone through another phase of photoshopping your face on a lot of Newcastle players recently?
Yeah, I don't know where that's really come from. I think he's put me on Gazza's head when Vinnie Jones grabs his bollocks.
Yeah,
he's had me run up and down the wing for Newcastle United. It's all very confusing.
You said to me that he keeps sending you pictures of your face photoshopped onto Newcastle players, and you think it might be his way of apologising for Brexit?
I can only imagine. He tried to bring it up last week. I went, really, Dad?
Yeah.
You got your sister stockpiling thyroid medicine. You got your daughter, rather, stockpiling thyroid medicine.
Yeah.
Because of you, your little bell end, you and your generation.
Yeah.
Your little bell end.
It's just a nice family occasion.
I'm stockpiling asthma medication.
Yeah, and looking forward to Christmas at your house. Your mum's roast potatoes are going to be very low on the agenda this year. How is Stewie doing anyway?
I mean, my mum's roast potatoes, very Brexit. I would argue that is very Brexit. Just really getting cold meat.
Pete, what about this for an email from Jay Croft? Hi guys, I'm not called either Luke or Pete.
Okay.
But I do know someone with both of your names. Yeah. I am an English teacher in Thailand, and there is a student in one of my classes called Luke Pete.
Ah.
Every time I teach her, it reminds me of the show. And I Facebooked, it's Lookpeet. I Facebooked that name, searched to see if there were people there and make sure Jay wasn't making it up. And there are loads of people on there called Luke Pete. Maybe it's a proper name in Thailand.
Mm.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I've got a lot of time for that. Maybe we can get her on as like a mascot.
199.5 episodes, and we've only just discovered that.
Luke Pete.
Yeah.
A lot of time for that. We just need to find a Pete Luke, and then we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Dean Chu, great name. Hey, guys, long-time listener, long-time emailer. I was the guy that originally emailed in about the elephant's foot way back in show 5 or something like that.
Oh, before Chernobyl became popular.
Wow.
Good man, Dean.
And just listening to the show 197 when Luke was talking about UFOs and noted that military tech is generally years ahead of civilian tech. As I was reading the news, I noticed that Donald Trump just tweeted a sensitive, if not classified, image taking from an American military spy satellite of an Iranian space facility, which appears to have had a catastrophic accident. Iran admitted that they had an accident, but it looks like... Donald Trump.
He should not be tweeting that.
Literally just tweeted a bit of American intelligence from like a drone or a spy plane or a satellite.
Now, I don't know much about the intelligence community.
But I love them.
But you should not be tweeting that out willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Should you? That's unbelievable.
The military satellite resolution seems to be at least twice as powerful as the commonly available military satellite. Photos. Public satellite photos of the particular site, and it's even closer. And he's a liability, isn't he?
I listened to a section on the radio last week, and it might have been around this story. And they got someone on. Oh no! I'll tell you what it was. It was Trump chipping off about space war and that kind of stuff again. And they got a guy on from a university in the UK somewhere, I forget which one, and he was an expert in future wars, basically. Like, he's a futurist, but about on a kind of war level. Probably quite a strange chap, having just described
future
him like
wars.
That. Yeah, but he was saying that when they talk about space war, it doesn't actually mean, half men, half androids up in space shooting lasers. What it means is...
firing missiles into the...
Yeah, and then knocking satellites out and stuff. Mm. And apparently there are 1,000 satellites going around the US, going around the world at the moment, and like 600 or so of them are American, and they're obviously used for things like guidance and identifying of different targets and that kind of stuff. And it would be a huge thing to knock all those out. Would be like a big thing, and most big nations have got a plan for how they would do that in a war situation.
Yeah,
quite terrifying, really.
Yeah, I mean, and again, but then where do you draw the line? Like, I mean, if you accidentally ram a space satellite with your satellite, is that propagation? Is that an act of war? Hacking an election, is that an act of war?
Yeah.
Clearly not, because we're scared of what might happen. It's all very interesting.
I think the world's gone to shit.
I think the world's gone to shit.
What about this from Ben from
York? I'm learning Mandarin.
Who says, love the show. In response to episode 198, you're talking about never events and the possibility of removing the Ron testicle. I'm a radiotherapist. I treat cancer with radiotherapy on the daily basis. We have to ask every patient which site we are treating for every new patient as part of our protocol. We always know which side we're treating, but we always want to check we're on the same page as the patient, so to speak. It's not that we don't know. It's just par for the course. Keep up the good work, Ben. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about bollocks, haven't we, recently? But it's good to know that everyone's kind of on the same page when it comes to treatment.
On the same ball.
Yeah, and I really want to read this email as well from Jonah, because we've got a load of emails in about Thomas More. Do you remember last week we talked about that head being stolen? I said, I don't really know who Thomas More is. Mm. Jonah's got in touch saying, it's my pleasure to compound your misery for getting something wrong, because you're going to get a lot of emails about this. So Thomas More was a Catholic humanist and was beheaded by Henry VIII for resisting the increasingly Protestant changes that were being put into place alongside his more hardline Protestant councillors. He was Henry's Lord Chancellor for a couple of years between 1529 and 1532. Here in Oxford, he's more famous because of the school down the end of my road named after him. Love the show, Jonah. Look, I always get stuff wrong and I'm happy to front up. I don't know if I got anything wrong on that. I thought I just said I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And so why is he up there alongside Cromwell and all the rest of them? Because they're more famous.
Oh, on the head. Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess he was notably beheaded. So were the other people beheaded? I can't remember who was next to. No, I don't think it was it?
I can't remember.
Yeah. I wonder if they caught that guy who stole the heads.
Oh, yeah, I'll try and get
seems
an update.
Like a, seems like a strange thing.
Have you got any more emails there, Pete?
I've got an email, yeah.
I'll try and find it out.
I'm going to throw an email. Hello to Brian. Hi, guys. I'm writing in regards to 198, episode where you two were discussing international tea drinking habits. Luke was surprised at how Scandinavians don't put milk in their tea. And Pete said, most of the world don't use tea bags and that it's a predominantly British thing. I'm here to say that tea customs are varied across lots of different cultures. Americans don't really have an affinity for tea and just use just heat water in the microwave and throw a tea bag in there. I live in Lebanon and tea bags are also very common there, although we do use loose leaf tea here as well, depending on the source of origin. My partner is half Russian, and Russians drink tea by adding hot water to a concentrate called zavarka. Zavarka is essentially made by brewing copious amounts of the chosen tea or blend in a big decorative pot called the samovar until a thick dark liquid is obtained. Sounds fantastic. Super concentrated tea. A small amount of the concentrate is enough for one cup of tea. A very similar practice also happens in the Middle Eastern countries, although the container is less elaborate and ornate. Almost the whole of the Middle East, from Turkey to Iran, drink tea in very small cups. This ensures that the tea you're drinking never gets cold because you're constantly having to refill from a hot source. The British are the primary protagonists of the milk situation. Maybe in the Commonwealth there is a more prevalent practice, but I'm not particularly fond of tea myself, and the wife always gets incensed and threatens a divorce whenever I add milk onto the rare occasions I do partake in the tea. As always, keep up the good work, Brian from Lebanon. And the pot itself is stunning. Look at that pot.
Beautiful.
What a beautiful pot.
What a beauty.
What a samovar pot beauty.
Very nice. That's interesting. Fascinating. So they make smaller cups of tea effectively so they don't
never
get cold.
Never gets cold.
In Australia, they have smaller beers so they don't get warm.
I see.
That's why you always get a smaller beer when you go to Australia. Because it's generally warm and it gets warm and they don't want to drink warm beer. So it works both ways. It's another final email we'll squeeze in just purely because it's about tea making. There's been no update on the head stolen heads.
Right.
But we'll keep you posted.
Okay.
From Lebanon to Jordan, because a man called Jordan has emailed in. I assume it's a man. It's also a woman's name. And they're listening to this show, so it's almost certainly a man. In response to your discussion relating to microwaving a cup of tea, I would like to point your attention to the extensive research into the health benefits of doing so. It seems that by microwaving a cup of tea, you can extract up to 70% more polyphenols and a more efficient release of caffeine and antioxidants. As abhorrent as this practice it is healthier. Though microwave tea has a weird temperature and is by far the inferior taste. Mm. In other terrible tea-making practices, the apparent perfect way to make a cup of tea, in quotes, by the Royal Society of Chemistry and International Organization for Standardizations, ISO 3103, outlines a standardized tea-making method.
Mm.
These two techniques involve pouring the milk into the cup before pouring the tea into the cup. This ISO is actually one of the most controversial standardizations in the world, being the only one to currently have a controversy tab on Wikipedia. That's some irate Englishman, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thankfully for us all, our saviour, Ireland, has objected officially to the standardisation. There we go. So if you brew tea in a pot and you pour it into a cup, a teacup, right, and then pour milk in, it probably doesn't actually matter whether you pour the milk in first or not. The people have problems with milk going in first when there's a tea bag in the cup.
Yeah, because the tea isn't going to disseminate across the
water. You can't do it that way.
No.
But I suppose historically, people would have brewed tea in a teapot, right? Mm. And that's kind of different. When I was staying at the Isle of Wight earlier last weekend, as we mentioned on Monday, my friends found an amazing hotel, which is the old Duke of Rothesay's house, I think. And it's a beautiful place on the hill overlooking the Solum. And the old dining room is exactly as you'd imagine, like an old stately home's dining room. Beautiful plush carpets, oak panelling, all that kind of stuff. And they serve breakfast in there. And they serve tea in a beautiful, ornate teapot, much like the one that you've just shown from our friend from Lebanon there.
Mm.
And I realised that it's a much nicer experience to drink tea that's been poured from a teapot than it is to brew it in a mug.
Usually. I was in a hotel last weekend and that was indeed the case.
There we go.
Love a little teapot.
Official tea making sure way of the stout. Duke and Pete show.
Here's my handle and here's my spout.
Oh, when I get all steamed up, hear me shout.
Pick me up and pour me out.
We'll see you next week.
See you later, guys.
For episode 200, we hope and promise...
199.75.
Hello at lukeandpete.com to get in touch. We'll see you next time.
All right then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.